Well, this is really a special service for me, and I hope you have really sensed the Spirit of God through all the testimonies and through the time. And so we worship together, and now we're going to open up the Word of God. We have a little bit less time than usual, so I'm going to zero in on kind of one or two verses today in our series. We're continuing the series in the life of Elijah. And so I'd like to invite you to turn at first to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 32 to 35. When we come to thinking about the life of Elijah, when we look at the New Testament mentions Elijah a lot. And one passage sometimes, in Hebrews chapter 11, it highlights the names and the stories of the men and women of faith. Men and women who displayed great faith. You know, sometimes it's been called the Faith Hall of Fame, because really, it's a special group of people. Women of the past, men of the past who demonstrated extraordinary faith. And though Elijah isn't mentioned by name, he's mentioned, he's alluded to in that passage in Hebrews chapter 11. So turn with me there. We start out. I'm just going to pray for blessing as we open up the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word, which convicts, which instructs, which rebukes, which trains us up in righteousness. And may your Word have that effect on all of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. It says in Hebrews, so we think about the faith of Elijah today. We talked about the days of Elijah, the trial of Elijah. Today we're going to zero in on the faith of Elijah. Hebrews 11 says, "What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and who escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Woman received back their dead, raised to life again." Now, which prophet escaped the edge of the sword? Have you ever thought about that? Well, I'll tell you the answer. It's Elijah. We read in 1 Kings, the story of chapter 19, how Jezebel threatened to kill him. And we're going to get to that story in a couple weeks. But just quickly right now, it's Elijah that escaped that. That's who he's talking about in Hebrews 11. What about their verse 35? Which woman received back their dead? Who prayed and that the dead boy was raised to life? Again, Elijah. Elijah prayed. We read about that in 1 Kings 17, where the widow of Zarephath and God uses Elijah to pray. Elijah prays for this woman's dead son, and he comes back from the dead. Just amazing. We're going to look at that story too. In fact, next couple weeks. But just quickly, you have to understand that when the author of Hebrews is explaining the men of faith, the women of faith, he's referring, one of the people he's referring to is Elijah. Even though Elijah's name isn't written, very clearly and specifically, details of the story of Elijah are mentioned. And so that's important for us to understand. Elijah is highlighted as someone of faith, not once, but twice. Now, biblical faith, when we think about it, it's not meant to be a one-time experience. I want you to understand that. Faith isn't just something that we do. You know, in the evangelical church, we often emphasize the importance of being saved by faith, which we should, and rightly so. We invite people to respond to the good news of Christ, of Christ's death and resurrection, and how they can put their faith in Jesus to be saved. And we should do all that. But sometimes in doing so, the impression that we've left is that you know, once we're saved by faith, but then once we're saved by faith, the rest is up to us. But that's not true. Because the Bible says that the safe faith that we put to save us is this faith that is meant to carry us through each day, through the trials, through the temptations, through the struggles, through your daily life. Look at this verse in Habakkuk. Chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, the righteous will live by what? By faith. So those who are righteous, who have put their trust in Christ, who are declared righteous, they will live by faith. Some versions maybe say walk by faith. Same kind of idea. Walking implies a step, one step at a time. It's a good description of what life is. It's one step at a time. One by one. The righteous shall live by faith. So we're not just saved by faith. We are to live each day by faith. Question I want to ask is, what does this look like? What does that look like? What things do we see in the story of Elijah? What can we learn from Elijah, the man of faith, about how we are to live by faith each day? How do we grow in faith? How can our faith be strengthened? Faith is so important. It says in Hebrews 11, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you and I, if we want to please God, we need faith. We need our faith to be strengthened and growing. How does that happen? Well, let's look at four things about a growing faith, about things that strengthen our faith. Some of these are, you know, all of these are things that you know. But you know, sometimes in life, we know a lot in our head, but we don't put it into practice. Sometimes we need to be reminded about things. We need reminders. Let's take a look at the verse that we're going to zero in on. Is we're actually taking a step backwards, because last time we looked at verse 2 to 6. We're just going to look, zero in on verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there's going to be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. The first thing we see about faith in the life of Elijah is that Elijah and we need to hear from God properly. The first thing that will strengthen your faith, that will, in order for you to acquire faith, grow in faith, develop faith, you and I need to hear from God properly. Now, why did Elijah go to Ahab and tell him there's going to be no rain for the next few years? Is it because he thought up the idea all by himself? No. God told him. God spoke to him. Is it on the basis of his own authority? No, it's on the basis of God's authority. Look what he says. As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, he cites God's authority. God has spoken to him about this detail. That's important to understand. He cites God's authority. And what's implied is he's heard a message from God. And this pattern of hearing from God is seen throughout. For example, if you just look at verse 2, you see this pattern. It says that then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. So God, he hears from God. Or jump down to verse 8. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him. Almost the same phrase. And then jump down to verse 14. You see again, it says, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. So Elijah heard from God over and over about specific things, and this is the pattern that we see. Now, we're not told how he heard from God. We're not told if it was an audible voice. We're not told if it was some vision. We don't know all the details. But if we're going to grow in faith, we need to hear from God properly. The question is, how do we hear from God? How do we hear the voice of God today? If God doesn't typically speak in an audible voice today, well, does that mean we have less advantage? I would submit to you that no, we actually have more advantage. We have a greater advantage than some of the prophets. You see, these Old Testament saints, they had to wait for God to speak to them. But you and I have an advantage. We don't have to wait around. You and I can pick up the Bible anytime, any day, anywhere, any place, and open it up, and we can hear God speak to us. We don't have to wait around. You can just open the Bible, because when you read God's word, the scriptures, that is how God primarily speaks today, is through his written word. I want you to notice a verse. One of the candidates of baptism mentioned this verse in their testimony. It's in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It says this. Notice the connection between faith and the word of God. It says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So do you see the step? The way to get faith is to hear from God. And how we hear from God is the word of Christ. Another name for the word of God, the message of Christ. The word of God, the scriptures. So as we read, as we study, as we meditate, as we focus on the scriptures, we're letting God speak to us. Are you doing that in your life? I'm not just talking about Sunday. I'm not just talking about being here and listening to the Word of God and getting into it. I'm talking about in your own daily life. Is there a practice of reading the Word of God, of opening up the Bible and letting God speak to you? Because 30 minutes on Sunday is not enough for you to grow in your faith as you need to grow. You're not, if you're putting all your stock in Sunday morning and hearing a message from me or one of the elders, you're not going to be fed as you need, because you need to open the Word of God each day. You need to take responsibility for your own development of faith and not put all the burden on your leaders. As much as they want to feed you, and they will feed you and do their best to feed you from the Scriptures, we individually need to learn to feed ourselves. That's the difference between being a baby, immature, and growing in maturity, is learning to digest and take in the Word of God yourself. So I'm challenging us in that way. So we need to hear the Word of God if we're going to grow in our faith. The second thing that we're going to see is that not only do we need to hear, but look at how it works in Elijah's life. We also need to obey the Word of God. We need to obey wholeheartedly. After Elijah heard God's voice telling him to go to Ahab and announce there's going to be a famine, he obeyed. He did as God said. It's been said well that if we don't obey the light we have, how can we ask God for more light? You know, sometimes we say, God, show me this, show me that. But then there's areas of our life where we're not obeying what we already know. Now, God is gracious. Even when we're disobedient sometimes, he's still guiding us. He's still leading us. But let's remember, we need to obey what we know. Sometimes the reason we aren't growing in our faith is simply because we aren't obeying the Word of God. I know that's true in my own life. When I'm stagnating in my faith, when I say, why do I feel stuck? Why do I feel, you know, it's usually because there's some area that I haven't obeyed God wholeheartedly. James 1 verse 22 says, do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. We need that reminder, I think, today, to do, not just hear, not just listen, but do what it says. Because if hearing the Word doesn't translate it into obeying, then we're deceived. We're self-deceived. I know you don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be deceived. But we can deceive ourselves when we don't follow that steps. Jesus also said something important about the connection between love and obedience. You know what he said in John? Take a look at John 14 and verse 21. Jesus said this. He said, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one that what? Loves me. Loves me. Now, ultimately, obedience to God is a test, is an indicator of our love for God. As you obey him, you're showing love for God. You know, it's not just, we live in a culture where love is kind of all about, you know, your emotions and your feelings, right? I feel in love, I don't feel in love. But the Bible, it's about action in the Bible. Love is demonstrated in actions. Remember, love is patient, love is kind. All that verse in 1 Corinthians 13. And ultimately, love is demonstrated by obedience to God. And so the question I want to ask you to think about this morning, now I was thinking about this from my own life, is what does God want you to obey today? What is God calling you to obey? What do you know in your heart that I need to obey in this area? I need to go forward in this area. Maybe there's a person you need to forgive. Maybe there's a gift you need to give. Maybe you need to let go of your finances and release it to the Lord's work. Maybe there's a bad habit you need to stop. Maybe there's a godly habit you need to start. I don't know what it is for you, but I know that God is calling you and me to obey him in some specific way, even today, this week, this month. And we know what the thing is. We often say, well, tomorrow, Lord, I'll deal with that tomorrow. You know, I'll start reading my Bible daily tomorrow, next week, when things get less hectic in my house, when things calm down at the office. That word tomorrow is a very dangerous word. Very dangerous. The Bible says today, choose this day whom you will serve. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Don't put off tomorrow what you should do today. Number three, how do we grow in faith? Not just do we hear from God, not just obey what we know, but we need to, thirdly, pray to God earnestly. We're going to spend a whole sermon on prayer in a few weeks because we're going to see Elijah's own example, but I just want you to see something interesting. What I find fascinating about the Bible is how the New Testament often illuminates or clarifies things in the Old Testament that are a bit confusing. Or even details that are not mentioned in the Old Testament, then you open up the New Testament and there's a detail there that you didn't know about. Well, here's an example of one of the such thing. I want you to turn to James chapter 5. We're going to zero in on that verse because it connects the Old Testament with the New Testament concerning Elijah. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, 18, we're given an important detail that's not mentioned in 1 Kings 17. James says this. He says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, and he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Now, did you catch that little part? I find it so interesting. Because what you're seeing here, this is Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Because when you look at 1 Kings 17, that detail isn't given. In 1 Kings 17 verse 1 that we're zeroing in on today, what we read is that Elijah appears out of nowhere, shows up, announces to Ahab that it's not going to rain for 3.5 years at the Lord's, at his word, and as he says, surely as the Lord lives. So the assumption is maybe that God has just told him, this is going to happen, just go tell Ahab. It's going to happen. But here in James, we see that God's shutting the heavens is actually in response to Elijah's prayer. Elijah was a man of faith because he was first a man of prayer. Elijah had much faith because he was in much prayer. And Elijah was so bold before men because he was so humble before God. You see, this tells us something about prayer. It tells us that not every, yes, God is in control and God can do what he wants and will do what he wants independently of us. But the other side of it is that God very often does something only in response to the prayers of his people. And it could be, and in fact, James chapter 4 and verse 3 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. So that tells us something. It tells us that there may be some things that God wants to do in your life, in my life, in the life of this church. And if we don't ask God, he's not going to do it. Just because we see Elijah's example, Elijah prayed and God responded. Would God have done it even if Elijah didn't pray? We're not told the answer to that. But we are told that there was a direct link between God's activity, God's actions, and the prayers of his people. And I want you to just take that in for a moment, because I think sometimes we can easily think that, well, God will do whatever he wants and he doesn't need me. Well, actually, the picture that we see in the Bible is that God works very much, his activity is very much interlinked with our prayers. And I don't understand all that. I don't quite understand it all. But this is what we see. You do not have because you do not ask. Maybe there's some things that God wants to give you and you haven't asked. Maybe it's something for your family. Maybe it's something for you. Ask God. Maybe it's a dream he's put on your heart to start some ministry. Ask God. Pray. Pray to God earnestly, just like Elijah. And before you say, yeah, but that's Elijah. He's a superstar. He's a Hall of Famer. You know, he's out of my league. No, you know what it says in James? Look carefully. It says he's a man just like us. He's just like you. He's just like me. Insecure. Messed up. Make mistakes. Sin. He's just a man. Man just like us. He had the same fears as you, the same insecurities, sometimes the same hang-ups, same worries maybe. He sinned. God, he was a man of faith. He heard from God. He then obeyed God wholeheartedly. He prayed to God earnestly. This passage in James is amazing because it tells how Elijah was righteous. Now, there's a sense that all of us as believers in Jesus are righteous. The Bible says quite clearly in Romans 3:22 that this is our position. It says, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So the moment we believe, we are declared righteous. That means no longer guilty of our sin. We're declared righteous in God's sight. That's our position. But then the Christian life, God commands us to become and experience what we are in position already. So then the rest of your life, we talked about sanctification last week, the way that God is making you more like Christ. The rest of your life, he's working out this deal in your life that you're going to be becoming more like Christ, and that's sanctification. Now, with Elijah in James 5:16, when it says Elijah was righteous, I don't think it's so much referring to his position in God's eyes, his positional righteousness. I think it's referring more to his practical righteousness. Because we're all considered righteous in God's eyes through faith in Christ, but are we practically living out and becoming in experience what we are in our position? That's the question. And I think when it says about Elijah here, it says he was righteous. It's talking about his practice of righteousness, that he was living that out. He was walking in righteousness before God. It's a reference to his walk, consistent and godly character and his holy living. That's why God answered his prayer. There's a connection. So often our prayers are not answered. Not because it's not God's will. But there could be the case where there's some sin in our life. There's something that is not right. Look at Proverbs 15:21 if you want to take this note down. It says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Proverbs 15:29. Isaiah 59:2 says, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So sin makes our prayers weak and ineffective. And you know, before we say, well, Elijah was so beyond us, remember, he says he was a man just like us. But he learned to walk by faith. He's a man of prayer. Listen to this quote by E.M. Bounds, a great man of prayer. He said, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but people whom the Holy Spirit can use, people of prayer, people mighty in prayer. I wonder if that's what the church is missing today. I'm not talking about this church necessarily, but the church. You know, sometimes a church can be so focused on being flashy and cutting edge and all this stuff. And I'm not against technology. I think we should use technology. Technology is not bad. It's not good. It's just a tool to be used for God, I think. And so we should use that. But remember that our strength and our power comes as we pray. It comes, God makes us a more effective church, a healthy church, as we become people of prayer. As we pray individually, as we pray with our family, as we pray as a church. I invite you to join our prayer meetings. I invite you to pray, even if you can't come in the church, maybe take the time on a Wednesday to pray with your spouse or with your kids. even if it's far for you to come in here. Let's be people that pray. What the church needs is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods again, but people whom the Holy Spirit can use, people of prayer, people mighty in prayer. What makes Elijah such a strong example of faith? Well, he first heard from God properly. Second of all, he obeyed wholeheartedly. Third, he prayed earnestly. And if we're going to grow in faith, I think we need to do the same. Because he's held up as a pattern, an example of faith in Hebrews 11 that we need to emulate. But there's one more thing that we see in this verse of 1 Kings, how we grow in faith. We need to, fourthly, serve God diligently. Notice that what that verse says, 1 Kings 17:1 says, "Now Elijah said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, whom I serve.'" You notice how Elijah sees himself. He's a great prophet of God. But notice how he says to Ahab, he doesn't list his credentials, though he could have, you know. He says, "The Lord whom I serve." In a way, it's a jab at Ahab, because remember, Ahab was serving the god Baal. He was following the god Baal. Whatever you follow, you serve. If you follow Jesus, you're serving Jesus. But we need to realize that each day. A servant doesn't do whatever they want each day. A servant's someone that takes orders from their master. A servant does what their master wants. And the same is true of you and me. When was the last time you woke up you got out of bed and you said, before you stepped and went into your day, said, "Here I am, Jesus, Master, I'm your servant reporting for duty." When's the last time you prayed something like that? Too often we make our plans and we say, "Lord, bless my plans. You know, bless my day. God, I'm doing this, 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 and this. I'm even doing this for you and that for you and this for you. Just bless me." And God wants to bless us. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes I wonder if we make our plans and then we ask God's blessing rather than saying, "God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do as a husband? What do you want me to do as a wife? How can this day glorify you? I'm as a stay-at-home mom or dad. How can this day glorify you as I go to work, as I interact with my clients, the people in my office? How can I glorify you? God, I'm your servant. You're the master. I'm just a servant." I wonder if that would just change your outlook enough so that God would have the freedom to work in you and through you in a new way. Servant, serve God diligently. Do you want to please God with your life? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. Wow. Impossible. In fact, even the things that we do, the good things that we think are good, if we're not doing them in faith, we're not pleasing God. If I don't prepare my sermon in faith, I'm not pleasing God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What pleases God is faith. Faith in Jesus who died and rose again, yes. But faith and trust in him each day. That he's the master, you're the servant. Therefore, you humbly come to him in prayer. You obey him. You seek to know his will from his word and put it into practice in your life. Then you will grow in faith. Then we will grow in faith as a church. As we do these things, as we live them out, as we look to him each day, set aside some interrupted time daily. Say each morning, "Not my will, but yours be done." Even Jesus gave us that example of submission, of being a servant. He said, "The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve." And really, that's what we are to be. Even as pastor or elder, we're here to serve. We're not here to run the show and do what we want to do. We're here to serve. We want God to be glorified at Onward. We want God to be doing a new thing here as he already is. We want to not get in the way of what God is wanting to do. And so by faith, we will do this.